Something I've really been enjoying over the last few days, the last week or so, is hearing what you guys are up to outside of this Sunday morning teaching. Like I heard from Preston and Lily after last week's message, they went on to the YouVersion app. It's the Bible on your phone, and they looked up a study to do together about the fruit of the Spirit. And I would encourage other people, check that out. Find out what studies are out there that you can do on your own during the week. My friend Dawn went through the New Testament and she sent me a list of, I think, 15 different places where it says that the believers met in homes. So, as you're probably tuning in from your house, be encouraged that the church is more than a box that says the word church on it. The believers met from house to house. So be encouraged by that this morning. I want to give a shout out to Alistair and Noella, who have been tuning in with their family, and to Zeke. Zeke, I hope you were able to find it. I hope you were patient through those first couple of minutes as we figured out the technical side of things. If you're there with your family, I want to say if you got kids, on our website in the family resources area, family ministry resources, you can find something like this, the fruit of the Spirit, something that you can put up on your refrigerator that you can make reference to during the week. And there are also other resources like Right Now Media that has videos that you can watch that are lessons that and stories that teach kids truth from the Bible, which is really refreshing. So check out newdaywi.com for family ministries resources. And also, if you want to submit a prayer request, like my friend Dale did this week. And when Dale submitted a prayer request, he did even more than that. He put a verse on there that was really a blessing to me this week. And I don't know if he knew that the teaching this week was going to be about joy, and that's why he shared this, or if this was just on his heart. But thank you, Dale, for submitting a prayer request and for sharing this verse. I'll read it, Psalm 94, 19. This is from the New International Version. It says, "When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul." When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. Thank you, Dale, for sharing. That is a perfect way to get into our teaching this morning. So let me pray. God, as the psalmist said, that when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. I pray, God, that you would really search our hearts, that you would show us where our anxiety is, where it's coming from, and that this morning we would find consolation from you that brings us joy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, yes, today is about joy because we've been going through the different facets of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is just what Paul calls it when instead of in the midst of freedom, instead of just following our appetites and following whatever makes us the happiest or the most comfortable, instead of doing what our impulses are, that we would trade those impulses and accept direction from God's Holy Spirit, that we would say, "I'm no longer going to let the world influence my body and let my body influence my actions. I'm no longer going to be under the control of reacting to what's going on around me. I'm going to let God be in control, and I'm going to be an influencer to the world around me, rather than letting the world dictate what I do." And he says that he calls that following the Holy Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit guide you. And he says, when you do that, you're going to see the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And there are nine facets to the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And last week we talked about love. Today we're talking about joy. If you're trying to memorize the fruit of the Spirit, let's practice love, joy, peace, and let's add patience. Let's do those four: love, joy, peace, patience. Love, patience. Yeah. If you can remember those things, then when you find yourself feeling anxious, or you find yourself feeling depressed, or you find yourself reacting to the world around you, you can start going through those and going, oh, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. I often do that when I'm in an airport. I know that's not a big problem that we're going to have anytime, particularly soon, but maybe in your own household, those are going to be good to go through. So today is about joy. And I want to be careful because I don't want to give the impression that when we talk about joy, that joy is a simple decision you make to ignore bad things that are going on. That's not what I'm talking about at all. I know there are bad things going on. I know there are people who are losing the money that they've saved for retirement. They don't know what their future is going to be like. There are people who are losing their jobs. They don't know how they're going to meet their needs in the present. There are people who are sick, and they don't know if they're going to survive the sickness. There are people who are quarantined, who are isolated. They don't know if they're ever going to see their families again. This is a reality. This is really going on. There are people who are stuck at home with someone who is abusive to them. There are people who are stuck at home with their own vices, their own addictions, and they don't have connections around them to support them and to help them through. There are difficult things going on. I don't want to ignore those things. I will tell you that when we read about joy in Scripture, we read the apostles saying, and Jesus saying, that joy isn't about happy circumstances. Happiness is about, you know, when things go your way. Joy is about when you know you're doing the right things, when you know that you're in tune with, in harmony with God's will for your life, and that becomes your strength. That becomes what gets you up in the morning. That becomes what helps you take the next step, because that's what joy does. It moves us. Joy is the thing within us that helps us take that next step. Joy is the thing within us that puts a song in our hearts and on our lips, that makes us dance a little bit. And what we read in Scripture is that that can happen even in the midst of difficulties. In James chapter 1, and I'm turning to it in an actual Bible, so it's close to the end, and there it is, James chapter 1. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." When troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. What we're going to see today is that joy is related to strength. And that's kind of what James is saying there. When there are challenges, when there are hard times, and there are right now, consider it something joyful, because you're going to get strength from it when you do. So where I want to spend some time today is in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8, and to give a little bit of background about Nehemiah, the Israelites who had been in this special relationship with God were exiled. They had turned away from God. They had worshiped false gods. They had made alliances with other governments and in other nations and trusted those nations to be their strength rather than trusting the Lord to be their strength. So God abandoned them to that impulse, that desire that they had. And they ended up being exiled, taken away from their land, taken away from their capital city, Jerusalem, taken away from the temple, the center of their worship. And for a generation, they were separated. And then they started to be allowed to come back, and they found their city in ruins. They found the temple taken apart, stone by stone. And it was devastating to them. Anyone who remembered the glory of what it was like, it was devastating to them because they saw what it was now. Anybody who hadn't seen it only heard the stories of its glory. And as they returned and they started to rebuild, there was a point where they found the law of Moses, where they gathered all of the people and they read what we know as parts of the Old Testament of Scripture. So they gathered the people, and in Nehemiah chapter 8, starting in verse 8, they read from the book of the law of God and clearly explained the meaning of what was being read, helping the people understand each passage. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were interpreting for the people. Levites were essentially, they were like the pastors of the time where they helped the worship happen. So they're interpreting to the people, and they said to them, "Don't mourn or weep on such a day as this, for today is a sacred day before the Lord your God." For the people had all been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Why were they weeping? The words of the law essentially were terms of a covenant. Marriage is a covenant. And when a husband and wife come together, share their vows, and become husband and wife, when they share their vows, they're sharing the terms of the covenant. And they're saying things like, "I will be faithful to you always. I'm not going to turn my affections to someone else. I'm going to love you and care for you every day in sickness and in health, in poorness and in riches. I will be with you. I promise you." Those are the terms of the covenant in a marriage relationship. Ezra was reading the terms of the covenant between God and the Israelites, and they realized they had broken that covenant. It's like if you were in a marriage that you had been in for years, but you didn't really love each other anymore. You didn't really act loving towards each other. In fact, you had gone and found affection somewhere else. You had cheated on, committed adultery, had an affair, connected yourself to someone else, and now you're in a room together with that person who you're married to, and you're watching a video of your wedding. You're seeing the love and the joy, and you're hearing the terms of the covenant, and you're remembering, "This is the person who I love. This is the person who I'm committed to. All those other things that I've chased have only hurt me." And so they wept because they realized how far they had gone from the one who loves them and the one who they had committed to. And Nehemiah continued, verse 10. "Go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared." I love that. I love that he's saying, go to your house and eat the things that are like part of a celebration, part of a party. and then share them with people who weren't ready for the party. I think that's so consistent with what we're talking about, where we want to see the Holy Spirit fill us, saturate our lives with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, to saturate us with those things so that we can be a blessing to the world around us. If you've been given these gifts, give gifts to others. And so he says, share food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, maybe you've heard that before. If you've been a Christian for a while, you've probably heard somebody say that or seen it come up in some kind of a fun graphic or something. The joy of the Lord is your strength. What does that really mean, though? Maybe you've heard me teach about this in the past, because I really appreciate what it means when we take a moment to really break it down. Because like that word of, the joy of the Lord, that could mean a couple of different things. Like, and when I think about Robin Hood, he's Robin of Locksley. That means he's from Locksley. I'm Aaron of Mosinee, Aaron from. So does this mean the joy from the Lord is our strength? But I might say of the joy of Aaron is the joy that I have, my joy. So the joy of the Lord, is it joy from the Lord or is it his joy? Which one is our strength? I don't understand with that word of. So a couple of years ago, as I was kind of wrestling with that, like, what does this mean? And I'm studying it myself, and I kind of get to the end of my own abilities. I called up my sister. She's really smart, really hardworking, and knows a lot about the Bible. And she set herself to task on it and came back to me with some of what she discovered. And she said, Aaron, this word joy that we translate from the Hebrew word is rather unique. And the word strength in the Hebrew is rather unique. And there are some neat things going on here. So what we're working with is this phrase, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And what she said is this word joy, the original Hebrew, there's an implication there of togetherness, of joining. Rather than thinking the joy of, let's think of it as joy with the Lord. And that seems consistent with what's going on here, because they're remembering their covenant. They're remembering their relationship. They're remembering their togetherness with God, joy with the Lord. And she said, and what we don't translate in English is there's this pronoun in the Hebrew that refers to the joy of the Lord, or joy with the Lord. Joy with the Lord, that is your, and we say strength here. She said that word strength is also sometimes translated as stronghold. So I just want to rephrase this, just reword it in order to help understand the meaning of it. We've learned it as the joy of the Lord is your strength. I'm going to say it's more helpful, maybe even more accurate, to say joy with the Lord. That is your stronghold. Joy with the Lord. That is your stronghold. I think that's important for us to remember right now, because even as I ask people, what are you thankful for this week? One of the things that I've heard a number of times is I'm thankful for the technology that we have to be able to connect with each other. And I understand that. One of the things that I'm wondering is, what happens if this technology fails? Can you imagine? I can. I don't know how many buttons I had to push to try to get to the right place to be live streaming today. And even if I'm effectively doing it right now, who knows if it's going to work next week. We can't trust technology as our stronghold. We know that things are changing so fast. Who would have thought? If somebody told you 6 months ago, there will be a time in the near future when all schools are closed, when all restaurants are closed. Could you imagine? No way. I drive by Denny's. That's one of the creepiest things for me. Denny's is never closed. It's dark. Our institutions that we've trusted so much. Well, we can't trust technology to be our stronghold. We can't trust the stock market to be our stronghold. We can't trust the government to be our stronghold. Even though right now we're seeing stimulus packages and we're seeing money come and we're seeing relief from some of what we're going through with losing jobs and losing income. Joy with the Lord. That is your stronghold. And that's a stronghold that can't be taken away. Joy with the Lord is something you can discover every day, a relationship that you can renew. You can wake up in the morning, read promises from His Word, and pray about how to put those into practice. And that's what joy would do. Joy moves us. Joy gets us up in the morning. Joy puts us in relationship with the Lord. And joy puts us in obedience to Him because we want to do something. We want to dance. We want to sing. We want to share food with our neighbors. We want to do whatever it takes to live in relationship with Him and to discover the joy in that relationship. Joy with the Lord. That is your stronghold. Now, some of you are taking your relationship with the Lord and you're asking, how can I love my neighbors well? And you're moving towards donating blood on Friday, April 10th. And that's awesome. We've still got room from 12 to 2. There are some spaces. You have to be scheduled. In order for us to do this as safely as possible, you need to be scheduled. And I understand there are links that you can see on newdaywi.com, on our Facebook page, in order to get scheduled into the blood drive. And some of you have wondered, well, if I can't donate blood, then what can I do? And in the past, we've done different donations that people can bring to a certain place. And we really don't want you doing that. We don't want you to leave your home in order to bring a donation to a place and just kind of put yourself and put other people at risk. So we got in contact with our friend Amy Bergstrom at Community Center for Hope and asked her, well, your organization provides food and supplies for people who are in need all around central Wisconsin. What would be the greatest help for you to do that? And it kind of reminds me of what Nehemiah told people to do. Yeah, have a feast and rich food and sweet drinks in your homes and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. We have an opportunity to do that. And what she said was, you can give a donation of money online, and then that will allow us to be able to buy the food and supplies that are going to help people who are running low. And she said, it's been really low right now. So I want you to consider taking that step. We'll have links to that here on our Facebook page and on newdaywi.com. Links to just give directly. If you can't donate blood on Good Friday, if you can't make a sacrifice to save other people's lives the way Jesus made a sacrifice to save your life, I mean, just like a tiny, tiny part of the way He did, then consider, if you have the means, be generous and help someone else have the food that they need. That's one way that you can move in joy and obedience and abundance and love to your neighbor. Now, we also have links to give online to New Day, and giving to New Day really is giving through New Day, because our mission is beyond just keeping an organization going. Our mission is to help disciples of Jesus be a blessing wherever they are, to see God's kingdom come in this community, His will being done in your hearts, in your households, in this community as it is in heaven. And giving to New Day helps us do that. Yeah, we have bills to pay, we have a mission to accomplish, and your offering helps that happen. Again, newdaywi.com is a place where you can link in order to do that. Just checking my notes here to see if I'm missing anything. I'm sure that I am, but I'm sure that we can catch up later. If you ever want to know what's happening, make sure to subscribe to our weekly, well, it's actually like twice a week now, email newsletter, so that you can get the latest information. Right now, though, I want to send you out with a message the way Nehemiah did. Yes, this is a difficult time, and yes, we don't want to ignore that. We want to feel and understand the pain and the hardship of what's going on around us. And then we want to acknowledge that the joy that we have with the Lord, that is our stronghold, even in the midst of these difficult times. Joy is not just circumstantial. Under any circumstances, we can sing out to the Lord. We can find joy in Him. So this week, that is my encouragement to you, that you experience the fruit of the Spirit as you turn from your impulses and appetites, tendency to move towards despair and anxiety and depression, as you take those and you trade them for the fruit of the Spirit and say, God, I am with you. Build into me, pour into me, saturate my life with your love, joy, your peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. May that be your prayer throughout this week. Continue to share with me what you're discovering from God's word, and let that be an encouragement to me that I can then spread out to other people. Let's go in peace and the joy of the Holy Spirit. Have a beautiful week.